Pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. I sort of got dressed up a little bit today. I went up and put on my Jesus sweatshirt that I got. I got this one at a yard sale, Property of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Yard sale, garage sale, a Goodwill, someplace I got. I get more comments when I wear this shirt, probably this sweatshirt, than anywhere. So I first put it on. I didn't look quite right. So when I got a collar, put it on yesterday. I don't know if you guys followed on the internet. But now, Wayne, all those God haters out there, now they think we're bragging that we're smart because of what we talked about yesterday. We got all talking about our education. So now they call us educated fools. So it looks like no matter what we do, we can't win with those folks. So, educated fool. Are you kidding me? Huh? Women's studies. Got a degree in women's studies. Got a degree in social work. What? Huh? Got a degree in men bending over for other men, that's your degree, and you want to talk about us having a master's degree in something? So I always try to tell them this, Pastor Tim. Listen, I used to think like you do. I understand exactly how you lost folk. I know how you think. I used to be me. But I got my mind changed. I got my mind renewed, and now I know how stupid people think, and now I know how wise people think. I can think both ways. So I could right now, listen, folks, I could right now get in the gutter with you right this very minute. I could go out and drink beer. I could go out and smoke dope. I could go out and chase women. Everything you do, I could do in an instant. There ain't nothing special about sinning. That is the easiest thing to do. I said to my wife the other day, bear with me, man. This is stream of consciousness there on this show. I got thinking about something somebody said the other day about the gay lifestyle. And I thought, stop for a minute. I said, wait a minute. Lifestyle? Lifestyle? Like lifestyle, the rich and famous? The way you have sex now is a lifestyle? I don't know what it's like in your life, but if I was really, really active sexually, it would be 20 minutes a day every day. That would be really, really active for a guy my age. How can I have a lifestyle based on something I do once every 6 months? I mean, at what point is it no longer a lifestyle? At what point is your life no longer controlled about what you do with your dinkus? I mean, I don't even get it. I don't even get it. I am so much more than what I do in a bed. That's a lifestyle? Can't you see the foolishness that they have fed us and the foolishness that we follow? We just swallow hook, line, and sinker. And, the theme on this show every day is the same thing. Those God haters, those immoral imbeciles, they're going to act like however they're going to act. Why would we ever let them impact us? Why do we go see their movies? Why do you give a flip what Rosie O'Donnell says? Why do you ever even turn on CNN? Why do we ever let those people have any impact on our lives ever at all? Lifestyle. Their lifestyle is lying and conniving. And I want to make this point very clear. Listen, Right Wing Watch, haven't had me up here in a couple of days, Kyle, kind of worried. I could be you in a second. I could be you in a second. Adultery is so easy. You walk out the door, you see a woman, you make a decision to do it. That is so easy. Getting drunk is so easy. Cussing is so easy. It's all sin is so easy, see? And what you dudes haven't picked up yet is the strength of those of us who aren't holier than thou, but those of us who actually control our behavior. That's hard to do. Some of you probably haven't noticed this. Rich got me all sore yesterday from working on the floors. I've been losing some weight, and actually good weight, because ever since Thanksgiving, how long would that be? I've been exercising about daily, every day. And I've been changing my eating habits. Now, hear me. I changed my lifestyle. It didn't have anything to do with my sexual behavior. I changed my lifestyle. The way I eat, the way I exercise, I learned to control those. Got control of those. Now, I can go with the best of them out on a Friday night and have a steak and pound of beer. I can do like anybody else could do that stuff. What I want to know is, Mr. Homo, can you be, dare I say it, can you be celibate, Mr. Homo? Can you? Mr. Adulterer, Mr. Fornicator, can you right now stop doing that? Or are you a prisoner to sin? And I would bet you about anything. You ready? Without the Holy Spirit, sorry, you can't be me. I can be you tomorrow. Ain't nothing all special about your behavior. I can do that tomorrow. I can pull a black mask over my face and go out and throw rocks and be Black Lives Matter. I can do it. That stuff is so easy. You can't do me. You can't do what I do. See, that's what ticks you off. Ultimately, that's what makes you mad. Because of the rebirth in me, because I've been born again from on high, because the Spirit of God has invaded my body, Paul says the things that I do, I don't want to do them anymore. I don't even want to do it. He created in me a clean heart, renewed the right spirit within me. And I don't even understand why we in the body of Christ take advice or watch the heathen. What is it that the heathen do that is of any noble thing in my life? I don't know. Rachel Maddow, why would I spend 20 seconds watching Rachel Maddow? She has sex with women. Well, you say, well, coach, that's normal. No, that isn't normal. She has sex with women. Rachel Maddow, here you come, right wing watch. Rachel Maddow can't even figure out who to have sex with, but yet she wants to give me advice. I'm going to listen to her advice. Anderson Cooper. Well, come on, man. Folks, wake up here. Wake up here. And at what point do we rise up and say, hey, Anderson, you don't even know how to properly have sex. How can you possibly tell me what's right and wrong in the world? Why do we listen to them? I don't know. Ellen DeGeneres. Huh? Are you kidding me? Hey, there's another one, right wing watch. Every time I look at Ellen, she looks more like a man. Every time I see her, and Rachel Maddow look less and less feminine every time I see them. Do y'all know why? I'm going to give you a spiritual reason. Rich is pounding them on my new floor up there. Can I tell you why? Because it says in Romans that they've received in themselves a due punishment for that which is meet. In other words, that is who they become. Rachel Maddow identifies herself as a gay woman. Whatever that word even means. I don't want to shock anybody. I could go out right now and have sex with a man. It don't take anything to be able to do that. It doesn't take anything at all. Fact, I'll bet this. I don't know this, so it's just my opinion. I bet you somewhere along the line, a lot of these people who are gay, I bet they're swinging gates. I bet Anderson Cooper somewhere along the line probably had a sex with a woman. And I bet Rachel Maddow somewhere along the line probably had sex with a man. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm guessing. I can tell you, I ain't never had sex with a man. I have no desire to have sex with a man. I think I'm going to keep my heterosexual lifestyle. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm off that rant. I just felt that needed to be said because, Wayne, haven't had any right-wing watch publicity here in a while. Figured I better try to get back up on that one.
I will volunteer my time. If anybody wants to learn how not to sin, they want to learn how to have power, I'll be more than happy to volunteer my time to show them how to do it.
Me too, Tim. Me too. Hey, listen. This is the way my mind works. Jared's got that picture up there. There's a bunch of elk or whatever they are, goats, whatever those things are. I know people want to have sex with those things. Huh? How hard would that be? How would that be? You have no restraint in you. You have no restraint if you want to go do something like that. And we know that there are people who want to do that. You have no restraint in you. You have lost your conscience if you want to go out and kill an unborn baby. There's something wrong, something seriously wrong with you. Huh? There is. But that's where we are, guys. Girls, that's where we are. Hey, I want to start us off. Anybody want to piggyback there? I'm going to take you someplace today. Listen, you better buckle in. You better buckle in. Because I'm going to take you someplace that you haven't been. Let me give you a fair warning where we're going to go. We're going to talk a little bit about as it was in the days of Noah today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Nephilim. What? Yeah, boy. On them giants. Yeah, I'm going to crack that thing open for you here a little bit today. So if you're a little bit nervous about that, if you're out there watching today and you're just kind of content sitting safely in your theology, then this would be a good day for you to tune out. By the way, you have the power to be able to do that, just like you have the power to be able to tune on. So I'm going to tell you some stuff, show you some stuff today that I think's probably, it's going to be eye-opening to you. Cool? Get to that first, but I got to play a real quick video. Jared, pull up there, Matt Walsh. I don't know if you guys know who Matt Walsh is. Matt's a blogger. Got a great, great Christian blogger. Great Christian man. I mean, he appears to be. I don't know if he is a great Christian man or not, but he sure appears to be. Right there, Jared. Stop right there. And he makes little videos like this once in a while. And this video just caught my eye, and I thought it'd be a good way to get us going here this morning. And Matt, he's sitting in his car, and this is obviously satire, but it gave me a chuckle here this morning. Because this is the world we live in. Go ahead and play Matt Walsh here.
You want to know why I'm a feminist? Because sexism and male privilege infect every single aspect of our lives in Donald Trump's America. Women are not equal to men. Women don't have the same rights as men in this country, okay? Think about all the things that women are not allowed to do that men are allowed to do. For instance, women, you know, are not allowed to... vote naked, and men vote naked all the time. Well, look, it's not about that, okay? The sexism is more ingrained than that, and I want to give you an example from something that I just experienced. I was just at my favorite vegan falafel restaurant with some LGBTQI friends from my neo-reform Buddhism study group, and in walks a man and woman, and immediately I know there's going to be trouble, so that's when I pull out, I always keep it handy for occasions like this, I pull out my misogyny binder. And this is a file that I keep where I record any instances of misogyny and sexism. I write them down and I grade them on the standard sexism scale. Number one, you know, one being garden variety privilege and five being Hitler. And after I'm done sharing this with you, I'll hand it over to the ACLU for the civil rights lawsuit. So just so you understand, to begin, they walk in. The man is holding the woman's hand as if to possess her. That's a five. The man is wearing pants and she's wearing a skirt, literally sending the message that he wears the pants in the relationship. Like, this is 1950. That's a five. They get to the table. The man pulls out the woman's chair, saying, in effect, you're not strong enough to do this yourself. That's a five. They sit down. The man sits on the right side of the table, saying, I'm right, you're wrong. That's a five. As they're talking, the man looks into the woman's eyes, intimidating her. That's an intimidation tactic used by misogynists. Don't be fooled. That's a five. Then the man looks away from the woman. That's also an intimidation tactic. That's a five. The waiter comes, asks if they want drinks, and the man tells the woman to go first, bossing her around. That's a five. The woman doesn't know what she wants, so he goes first, putting himself ahead of her. That's also a five. At this point, I've crawled up close to the table. I'm practically under the table so that I can better monitor the situation. And I am aghast to hear this sexist bully say to the woman, you look beautiful tonight, objectifying her. That's a five. Then the man says that he thinks that she's very kind and funny, and he enjoys spending time with her, which is a roundabout way of calling her ugly, body shaming her. That's a five. Eventually, they're eating their food, and I want you to really pay attention to this interaction, because the man says to the woman, do you like your meal? And the woman says, yeah, it's good. What about you? And he says, mine is great. Now, it's male privilege that made the man think it's any of his business how she feels about her food, and it's fragile masculinity that made him feel that he has to one-up her. Well, hers is good, his has to be great, of course, right? Those are all fives. You add that up, and that's 150 sexism points, making him, according to the Geneva Convention, an actual war criminal, okay? Now, at this point, I've had enough, so I... First of all, what I always do in these situations is I handed to the man your privilege is showing card. And I sat down at the table. The woman, I could tell, was delighted to have me there to defend her. And I explained to the young man that, listen, I myself am married to a female life partner. And I know that I must never do or say anything in our house because the words and actions of men are inherently oppressive. Men should be seen, not heard, okay? And preferably not even seen. That's why I don't even look in the mirror, because I don't want to be exposed to the misogyny. Men have contributed nothing of value to the world ever. You know, how many good men have there really been in the world? You know, you've got Fidel Castro, Barack Obama, Anderson Cooper, Karl Marx, Joseph Stalin, but that's it. That's like five. Compare that to all the great women: Caitlyn Jenner, Chelsea Manning, Laverne Cox, RuPaul. The list goes on and on. The world will never get better until men realize that they are all degenerate scum and should die. Except for me, of course. I'm different.
Sadly, that's true, isn't it? That just made me chuckle, because, man, is that ever where we are? And again, the problem is, we in the church, we who carry the name of Christ, we've adopted this, and we don't even realize what we have. So I want to give you a little bit of humor to start off today. Okay, guys, Genesis 6. Go there real quickly, Jared. I want to take you to two different places before I crack this thing open. I'm going to give you a tip of the hat to my friend Ray Gano. Most of you have never heard of Ray. Ray Gano, G-A-N-O. Ray's written something in the last couple of days that just kind of blew me away. I'm in Genesis chapter 6 because we've been here before. But I want to make this very, very clear when we get going, okay? This is Genesis 6, verse 1. Hey, Roger, let's go back to you read. We haven't done that in like forever. I used to let you read all the time, but I couldn't trust the sissy Bible that you had. See, you go ahead and read that if you can, Roger. It's right up on the screen. Or do you have to get your own out? Can't hear you.
I still have the sissy Bible out. Is that okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll start Genesis 6.
No, 6:1. Yep.
I'm here, baby. I'm ready to roll. Good morning. Here we go. 6:1. When men began to increase in number on the earth and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose.
Now, see, that's why I hate that Bible Roger has, because they didn't marry any of them. What, no marriage that took place? No marriage. No wonder. No wonder that church you're in so far behind the times, okay? Now, Roger, if you can't get out a manly Bible, then I'm going to go to somebody else, because you are just ruining the whole show.
Hey, go to Wayne while I go get my manly Bible.
Okay. Wayne, do you have a version of the manly Bible? Can you read the manly Bible on the screen, Wayne? Okay. Unmute yourself. Let's get that attorney the hell out of here.
You can't trust them.
Let's try it again.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were...
Hang on a minute. Hang on. Who are the sons of God? Who are the sons of God? That's going to be important. Okay, Larry, I see the phone call, man. I'll get in a minute. Go ahead, Wayne.
You want me to go ahead and read?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Wayne. You know me. I can't shut my mouth. You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know. Whenever I take notes and you say we're going to start in verse 1, I never write it down because I have 16 verses.
I got you, man.
All right. The sons of God. Did you want me to answer that question, or you want me to keep reading?
No, I want, listen, I think it's important when you read the Bible to think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Think. Now look, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men. Who are the sons of God? I thought it was the people who were marrying and multiplying on the earth. No, something going on here, Sarge. There's something going on here. Keep going, Wayne.
All right. And the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man.
That's a warning. That's a warning.
For that, he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. And there were giants.
Hang on. Here we go. Go ahead, Wayne.
And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after.
Stop. Come on now, Wayne. Purdue's getting into you now. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Hey, do you believe the Bible? JR, you believe the Bible? Bible's true. I believe every word of it. I believe every word of the Bible. The Lord God said it. I believe it. That settles it. What's he say? There were giants. What do you mean? Lou Alcindor? Is that what they're talking about? Huh? Giants? Is that what they meant? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? That big basketball team's back there? There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. Go ahead, Wayne. I'm sorry. I'll leave you alone.
Oh, that's fine. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men.
Uh-oh. What does that mean? What does it mean to come into?
Well, it's the word yada.
Huh? This is a PG show here, so we'll keep it clean, PG. So these sons of men came into the daughters. Sons of God came into the daughters of these men. By the way, did they not just identify them as giants, or did I miss something here? Go ahead.
And they bare children unto them, and some became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown.
Hey, Raj, who became mighty men? Who became mighty men, Sarge? Why, those men who came into those women who bare children, and some of them became mighty men of who, which were of old, men of renown. Now, watch what happens here. God ain't real happy, Wayne.
Nope. And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Okay, see, now let's make a leap right here. Because he's talking about the sons of God coming into the daughters of men, reproducing children, and what's the next thing he says after he talks about that? And God was ticked off about it. God was really ticked off. Yep. Because of the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Something went wrong here, boys.
There was a switch that was flipped.
Something happened here. And look what happened.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
Do you understand that? Can you imagine what it's like to have the Lord's heart grieved? Grieved him in his heart, that his kids would rebel like this. So what did he say he was going to do, Wayne?
Well, as a result, the Lord said, I will
just love him. He said, let's just love him, brothers. Let's just share the love of God with him, and it'll all be okay. Is that what he said? Now, keep going here, Brother Wayne. Wayne's a pastor, by the way.
An educated one. And the Lord said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I've even made them.
Wow. Wow. Something crazy going on. And then look what he finds.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Okay. Okay. Boys, there is so much to unpack right there in those verses that we just read. Now, Roger, if you had a real Bible, you'd be caught up with us and you'd be understanding what's going on. Time out right here. I want to call a time out. Does anybody read that differently than what Wayne just read? Have we interjected some more? Am I stretching what the Bible says here? No objections, Your Honor. Move on. Okay. Well, let's go to Jude real quickly, Jared. Let's go back to Jude, because this comes down to I'm just asking some questions. Here's one of the questions. Who edited the Bible? So let's look at the book of Enoch, which is where it talks about there's a book of giants and a book of Enoch that talks in more detail about the giants. And I just want to see that verse 14 of Jude. I'll let Roger read because he went all the way up there to get that real Bible. Roger, why is your real Bible hidden? Why you get that? Oh, well, that's between you and the Lord. So, Roger, verse 14, what's it say? Because we're going to talk about Enoch. Go ahead.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood?
No. Jude 1:14.
Hold on.
We're going to wait while you go for your real Bible.
Hold on. Here we go. All right. Jude 1:14. Here we go, baby. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints.
Well, why? Why is he come, Raj?
Why is he coming?
Keep 15. Keep going. There's no period at the end of that. It's a comma. I don't know if you noticed that.
To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that there are ungodly among them, all of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
Okay, so there was, we see Jude quoting Enoch. All right, that's all I want you to see. Enoch, which talks about in depth about the giants, because I'm going to get into some of this here in a second, okay? Jared, pitch up here this article from Ray Gano. Ray, I might be wrong. Ray may be in Dallas. Expand that, Jared, because this was so good. I wanted to read this today. It's not good to ever read on TV, but you guys can follow along, so I think it's important. The days of Noah are upon us. What are demons, and are they the fallen angels? So you can see it's done February 27th, because we talk a lot about this. And Dizdar, if we were to get Russ Dizdar down, this is what, you know, this is what Russ would be talking about. So I'm just going to read down through this real quickly, Jared, if you can keep up with me. It says, last week I wrote an article entitled Spiritual Wars Seeping Over to the Physical, The Days of Noah Are Upon Us. From that article, I got a lot of emails from people asking a lot of great questions. What I want to do is to take the time to answer these questions. Slide on up, Jared. I got all these faces blocking me down here. No, I'm sorry, bud. Go the other way. There you go. It's critical to the church to come to the realization that we are, in fact, living in the days that Christ called the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be coming at the Son of Man. We've talked about that before, okay? So the most asked questions I got in emails was these. Scroll on down, Jared. What are demons? Are they the fallen angels? Quick answer is no. Angels have bodies. They can be touched. They can eat and do other things that humans can do because they have a body. Demons are bodiless spirits, in fact, evil spirits. They don't have bodies, and their biggest desire besides killing us, stealing from us, and destroying us is to have a body that they can call their own. Okay, that's why we talk about demon possession. A demon doesn't have a body. The only way it can operate is to be able to get into one and to influence. Demons are bodiless spirits. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's an interesting passage from the book of Enoch, which I just quoted. Note, Enoch is not canonized a part of Holy Scripture. It is, though, excellent reference of history that many historians do value, and it does correspond with other historical accounts. So here, this is from the book of Enoch, okay? Remember, Enoch, what do we know about Enoch? He was perfect. He walked with God, and then he walked no more. He was a righteous man. He was raptured. The only man didn't die. So here's what it says. In those days when the children of men had multiplied, it happened that there were born unto them handsome and beautiful daughters. This is the book of Enoch now. And the angels, the children of heaven, saw them and desired them and said to one another, come, let us choose wives for ourselves. Roger, you're right. Maybe they did get married. Let us choose wives for ourselves among the daughters of men and begat us children. They took wives unto themselves, and everyone respectively chose one woman for himself, and they began to go into them. Book of Enoch, not scripture, but illustrative nonetheless. Then Michael, Surafel, and Gabriel observed carefully from the sky, and they saw much blood being shed upon the earth, and all the oppression being wrought upon the earth. Now, stop a minute. Why would we be seeing a lot of blood, a lot of unruliness? Because these angels rebelled. They have a spirit of rebellion in them, right? Okay. As for the women, they gave birth to giants to the degree that the whole earth was filled with blood and oppression. And now behold, the Holy One will cry, and those who have died will bring their suit up to the gate of heaven. Their groaning is ascended into heaven, but they could not get out from before the face of the oppression that is being wrought on the earth. And to Gabriel, the Lord said, proceed against the bastards. How about that? What are bastards? Yeah. Child doesn't have a dad. Proceed against the bastards and the reprobates and against the children of adultery and destroy the children of adultery and expel the children of the watchers from among the people and send them against one another so that they may be destroyed in the fight for lengths of days have they not. Why? Listen, angels are eternal. So if the angels came down and had sex with women, and created beings, little spirits that cannot die. Do you understand that? For their length of days have they not. They left their first estate, the heavenly realm. They invaded the earthly realm, and they're eternal. They can't die. And when they and all their children have battled with each other, and when they have seen the destruction of the beloved ones, bind them for 70 generations underneath the rocks of the ground to the day of judgment and of their consumption until the eternal judgment is concluded. But now the giants who are born from the union of the spirits and the flesh can be called evil spirits upon the earth. This is the book of Enoch, because their dwelling shall be upon the earth and inside the earth. Evil spirits have come out of their bodies, because from that day that they were created from the holy ones, they became the watchers. Their first origin is the spiritual world, the spiritual foundation. They will become evil upon the earth and shall be called evil spirits. Now at the bottom here, slide down, Jared. He references, there's the sources. Enoch, he tells you where it is, where the translation. So demons are the spirits of the dead Nephilim, the offspring between the fallen angels and human women. They do not have souls, so they cannot go to heaven nor go to hell, at least at this present time. Christ tells us that these evil spirits walk the earth's dry places, seeking out rest but finding none. They are also seeking any host that is open to letting them in, either by invitation or by force. So Gaino Ray then takes us to the Bible, Matthew 12. 43 through 45 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. And then he goes and he takes himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also under this wicked generation. Okay, time out right there. Are you following this, guys? Are you following this line of thinking here? Everybody get it? Now, wait. I don't care if you believe it. You don't have to believe it. I'm just trying to present this to you. You're going to have to do your own research and see whether or not you think this stuff is true. So then Ray Gano goes on and says, how many angels rejected God and fell to Satan? That's a good question, isn't it? But during the days of Noah, the pre-flood, fallen angels populated the earth and walked among men. So how many angels fell? Scripture doesn't say. But we can get a rough idea from the book of Revelation. Revelation 5:11 says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So running the quick math, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. Now, these are angels that were just around the throne of God at the time John was viewing this. Who knows how many more were out doing battle, protecting people, doing other jobs, etc. And even though we do not know the actual number, just for the sake of giving us an idea, let's use the term 100 million. So one third of 100 million is 30 million. So if there were 100 million angels, 30 million fell. You following the line of thinking here? That's a lot of angels that could be populating the earth during the time of Noah and of all those fallen angels taking wives from the human population. So during the days of Noah, people were having babies at a rather large rate, which means that the fallen angels were also adding to the population explosion, so much so that the human DNA strain was getting polluted with the angel DNA, and out of these unions came Nephilim. Remember, the Lord said he would put enmity between who? The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, DNA of the serpent and DNA of the woman. Genesis 6 says, and it came to, we just read all this. Genesis, let's go on down. This is what we just read in Genesis, just for the sake of time here. Okay, good. Okay, now, is it possible that due to the fallen angels taking human wives, that it totally corrupted the bloodline from Adam? What we need to understand is that this has been going on since the fall of Eden. The fallen angels were on the earth all this time with man, spreading their demon seed. Okay, so here he gives us an account of the generations. Let's go down through this real quick, Jared. Adam is the first generation. Adam and Eve received a son. That was Seth when he was 130 years old. Then Enos is born. And then Kenan is born. Then Mahalalel is born. Then Jared is born. All right, Jared, you're an old man. Then Methuselah is born, generation 8. Methuselah can be translated when he dies, it comes. Lamech was born in generation 9. Adam dies at age 930. This is all in Genesis. And Enoch is taken up by God, but he did not die, at age 365. Then 1,042, Seth dies at age 912. And then 1,056, Noah is born, generation 10. Okay? This is out of this is taken out of Genesis, and he scales it out. So we see that Noah was born 1056. So roughly, man and fallen angels have been walking together on the earth for about 1,050 years. When we think about it, when God calls the flood to take place and cleanse the earth of all the mankind, is it possible that just about every living human had some bit of fallen angel DNA inside, thus making them impure? Is it this impure DNA that caused man to be hyper evil? We see what's going on now, the evil that's going on. Is there a little bit of that sin nature in these guys? Man and his sin nature can be evil. But when you mix in some fallen angel DNA, does that depravity of man expand? God looked down on the earth and was utterly disgusted at the state of man and the evil that man had sunk to. How many died in the flood? What was the pre-flood population? Not so important. Let's scroll on down through. I mean, it's important. You guys can read it later. But it gives us some idea of how many people were there. It takes us through Genesis, the pre-flood population. God had to cleanse the earth. What did he have to cleanse the earth of? He had to cleanse the earth of this impure seed. Keep going. Some people believe the population was low. Read all that. Get down. So what's the purpose or goal of demons? Demons are the minions of Satan. They gladly serve him because they were born of the fallen angels who joined Satan's rebellion against our most holy God. Reads John 10:10, thief cometh but to kill and to steal and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Scroll on down, Jared. Who is the thief? Well, I disagree with Ray here. I think the thief is a hireling, but the hireling under the power of the devil. Thief is Christ. Who's Christ talking about? Satan. Satan and his minions desire to steal, kill, and destroy. So I agree with all that. This is why it's virtually important that we have a solid understanding of the days that we're living in. We need to remember that a demon cannot possess a Christian, but it can strongly influence a Christian who's in a weakened state. Ben Alexander once said, demons cannot live in a Christian's heart, but they can perch on his Christian shoulders and whisper in the Christian's ear. Conclusion, we need to fully understand the days and times we're living in. We cannot slough things off expecting someone else take action. We need to take responsibility and understand the forces of evil that are attacking the church, our nation, and the world here and now. We need to get in the battle now and let tomorrow take care of itself. The souls of millions are being lost because we've been so self-consumed. We have to take action now for the sakes of our friends, family, and loved ones. The enemy is winning, attracting millions for his cause. And when are we going to start caring? Start again for the cause of Christ. Yada, yada, yada. And then pulling up there, he talks about the whole armor of God, has this over there in a picture, the whole armor of God. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? There's a video there. Ray says here, we're facing demon-possessed people. Hey, folks, Roger, we're dealing with demon-possessed people. We don't believe it, see? We don't believe it when simply digging into the scriptures. Do you find 100% proof of what Ray's talking about here? Do you find 100% proof of the Nephilim? Do you find 100% proof? No. No. Sure makes you scratch your head. Somebody jump in here. See what's oh me or oh my.
You know, people don't have a clue about what really took place. The average Christian doesn't have a clue of what is going on in Hollywood. They don't have a clue of what goes place in the dark side.
They don't.
I mean, when you look at the average kid who was raised in Hollywood, and because I did counseling with some of these people, I've realized that from the age of 3 to 6, the average kid who has still made it is sane because they accepted lifestyle. By the time they were 6, they had their pooper popped. And they now accepted the gay lifestyle.
That's right.
Almost
that's
every
right.
guy. You know,
and so, so Tim, now we're seeing that Disney is coming out with its first gay kiss in cartoons. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Now, come on now. Why would they want to do that? And what would possess a movie creator to do that? Well, they're demon fueled, demon possessed. This is going to be all over Right Wing Watch, by the way. This is good.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
You know, Coach, it says. Jesus said that it'll be like in the days of Noah upon his return. And hey, aren't we seeing today with CERN and how they're messing with the DNA?
There you go, buddy.
I mean, I was telling my wife, Pam, I said, it's so clear that we're in the season. We don't know when the return is, but it's so similar to the days of Noah. No question about it.
Now, George, as to whether or not we're going to actually see giants, this giant sitting over here, Rich is a big dude. Whether we're going to see giants, actual physical giants, I believe we will. But understand, it's the DNA, it's the spirits that we're talking about. Guys, these fallen angels cannot die. You understand that? They cannot die. And so as we saw, when the person that this demon is in, when that person dies, the demon doesn't die. It continues to search for another body to inhabit or to control or direct or whatever. Seen a picture? Larry, we had a phone call. I forgot all about that. We still got him on the line? I left him hanging there for so long. I feel bad about it. No? Larry didn't make
it? That was actually...
What's that?
That was Lindell. He can join in from the queue now.
Great, Lindell. Great. Okay, now, hey, guys, I want to show you something. I'm going to listen now. Hey, we're all big boys here. We're all big boys, aren't we? Hey, Jared, pull up that last thing that says cannibals. Look at this. Bare Naked Islam. And what they're showing us, cannibalism, huh? Hey, guys, you ready? You know why everybody's scared of those giants back years ago? Because they were eating people. Now, look at this. Bare Naked Islam. The Islamic State handbook reveals that jihadis are being taught to eat their enemies. Okay, I see the phone call, Larry. Hang on. Scroll on down, Jared. Scroll on down. Look at this guy's taking out a heart and eating it. I'm sorry if you're listening and can't see it. We can send you the information. Just scroll on down. It says, you may kill an enemy fighter or an adulterer. Will they eat you someday? Shows these guys. Look at this picture here. Arms and legs. Huh? Look at this. So some of these deeply, deeply deranged people. Look at this. Photos of Palestinians eating the body parts of dead Israeli soldiers. Huh? Oh, boy, 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 boy. Okay, Jared, pull that off before I barf. Just go to the caller, Larry.
Jen from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hollywood, if you go on Google, you can look for six toes in the hands of celebrities, and you'll find Halle Berry, you'll find Drew Carey, and they call them physical deformities, but we know, according to Genesis 6, this is the fallen angels, and if they do anything, they have to do what they call plastic surgery, I know growing up, my family, there's only Catholicism, and there's my family. If I look at my genealogy alone, there's countesses, there's all these other things, but there's not a whole lot of Jesus in any of that. So I knew right off the bat that I mean, you can say what you want, but if you go on Google, I mean, I know I couldn't be saved on my own, obviously. I mean, it would have to be breaking the soul ties and all those things. But this is something you need to look at Google. Six toes, hands of celebrities, and you'll find all kinds of celebrities.
Thanks, Jenny. Hey, guys, listen, some of this stuff you're going to have to do your own background research on. I don't know. I found this one out. This one fascinated me. Remember when back in the Cowboys and Indian days, those cowboy and Indian movies? How? How? Do you know why they did that, George? You know why they did that? Because those of the wrong DNA had six fingers. And when they held up how, it gave you a chance to read how many fingers they had. Did you know that, folklore? How? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you're safe. Come on in. Unbelievable. I got a clip I want to play here, but I'm waiting to see if somebody else has something else they want to say. Okay, here we go. L.A. Marzulli. Jared, pull up L.A. Marzulli there. And Jared, get it to the two-minute mark. Forward it to the two-minute mark. L.A. Marzulli is going to be here in Columbus May 19th and 20th with Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli. Guys, are you ready to be blown away here? I'm going to show you a seven-minute clip of a soldier in Afghanistan who says they encountered and killed a giant. Huh? What? Start the two-minute mark and sit back and watch this and see if you think this is possible. Go ahead, Jared.
Smelled more like a pile of rotting corpses. Here's the clip, and you can decide for yourself if giants are alive and well and living in the present day.
You were in Afghanistan in 2002, and you were called into a very remote section of Afghanistan because a patrol had basically gone missing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Just
no, just around nothing.
For miles.
Right.
So very remote.
Yeah, very remote. So we flew in. About 4 kilometers. We're hiking through the same area where they were supposed to make one of their checkpoints, you know, one of their rally points. And before we left, there was all kinds of what happened with the ambush. But that was even odd because at point of ambush, we'd call for maybe close air support, something, okay? There was no calls made, just off the bridge. So we're coming down a mountainside, and it was a nice path, a goat path. As we bent around this corner, you could see this opening of the cave. There's a cave as we're coming around. And then I see there's a lot of rocks, which is another oddity, and then bone matter. I'm not close enough to identify what kind of bones, but I did see something I knew was a piece of our communications equipment. So instantly, we're thinking ambush, maybe animal, you know, could be anything. And there was enough room in front of this cave, but it had a sheer drop-off. But there was enough room that we actually got into a decent dispersal in case of ambush.
You see something coming out of the cave, and it's moving with a speed and agility that catches you off guard.
Everybody. And he comes out. It was a man at least 12 to 15 feet in height. This is a monster. Red beard, then his hair was longish, past the shoulder, a scarlet red. And Dan runs at him and starts shooting, which broke all of us into the reality. Because it was
so surreal. Now your training is kicking
in. Oh, yeah. Okay. Muscle memory. Right. Complete muscle memory. While Dan is moving at him, another bro of mine's laying down fire, and I start firing. He skewers Dan. He's now got him on this pike.
Sticks him with a knife.
And he's still got him, and he's coming after more. We all just clicked in. I don't know what it was, but I remember we're all like, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. Our weapons components were M4, we had 308s, and we had Barrett 50s. This is sounding longer than it took. We're talking 30 seconds. And He's taking multiple hits and is still moving.
He talked about this giant being 1,100 pounds, anywhere from 10 to 15 feet long, and it was killed. It was apparently shot somewhere in a cave in Afghanistan. But before it was shot, it lunged at several of our troops, our soldiers. It may have even gorged somebody. It was just a bizarre, bizarre story. And it just sounds like the Nephilim from the Bible, doesn't it?
That's why we're so fascinated by this.
First off, can you imagine actually seeing something like this? A giant this big who's...
Okay, you can cut that off there, Jared. I'll shoot you this video. You can watch the rest of it. LA's a good dude, man. He has great integrity. And the story goes on to tell that the military flew in, carted this thing out, never to be heard from again. Hey, Sarge, jump in here a little bit if you can, because I know you're kind of up on this stuff as well. The truth is, and if you watch the movie that Steve Quayle presented called The Unholy Sea, that's a video that you guys ought to see. Sarge, we're beginning to realize that some of these old bones, these old carcasses, have been discovered in different parts of the world, and they call in the Smithsonian Institute, and then what happens, Sarge?
Well, the bones disappear. They go into some...
Folks, let me stop you. Kevin, I keep calling him Sarge. This dude has worked in the Pentagon. He's more than a Sarge, all right? He's more than a Sarge. And so when you're hearing from him, this ain't some drunk sitting over on the corner bench. It just happens to turn into the show, okay? Go ahead, Sarge.
Yeah, a lot of times it's destroyed, but the thing that Quayle and Alberino bring out in their movie is it's a worldwide phenomenon, and that when they find these things, they're covered up, and it's not just a Smithsonian. The Unholy Sea movie shows how conveniently many, many, many Catholic churches are built upon structures that lead into the underground. And what we don't know is why they are covering up what they're finding. And are they covering up underground tunnels? Are they covering up underground artifacts and relics? I think the message that Quayle is trying to ask you to think about is the Vatican knows way more than they're letting on to the world. And a lot of it, I think, is probably related to the entire fallen angel technology and the artifacts and the relics. And at some point in time, I think God's going to open the window to this, just like I think it's going to happen with the pedophile piece.
So we ask, Sarge, we ask ourselves, what's going on down in Antarctica, right? What's going on? What are they messing with down there? Do you remember going back there where we read that they were going to be buried or locked up for 70 generations? And what was going to happen after those 70 generations, Sarge?
Yeah, they're going to be released. Revelation talks about and I think also there's a prayer in Isaiah that talks about pray that the giants are not released. But I think that's part of the wrath. And that God, you know, as we've talked about God using our president as Cyrus, I think he's also going to use those fallen angels as part of his wrath for the unbelievers, for the wrath of the unbelievers. So that's why hearts are going to fail, because people,
that's, there you go, brother.
Christians are not ready to see what's going to come upon this earth.
We think Bigfoot's something, huh?
Yeah. And the issue, I think, though, right now, especially with what Quayle is bringing forward, now I think that's why it's so critical that people sort of hear what the researchers are going to talk about when we are down at Dallas. And even if you can't come, you ought to spend the $40, I think, to get the live stream so that you can hear firsthand, because I'm sure there's going to be some updates about what's going on with Antarctica. I think Antarctica, why all the world leaders are going down there, is they have found something. The question is, how are they going to couch it? How are they going to sell it to the world? Because there may be ancient technology. There may be even a frozen civilization that they have found. Now, the question is, are they Nephilim? Are they, what are they? And how they couch it and how they plan to deceive, because you could understand that the world is still being controlled by the powerful elites that we all know as the Illuminati, and they are going to control the message. They've controlled the message since 6,000 years ago.
So then you look, think about where I started today's show, and I started it talking about those being controlled in positions of authority. The people in positions of authority are being controlled. How else can you explain the fact that the Republicans will not do anything that their president wants to do? Why is it that Trump's greatest opposition, again, the scripture says, your enemies will be those of your own household. Why is it that the Republicans are the ones who are shooting down every idea he comes up with? So with Jeff Sessions, we know that the deep state leaked this information. We know that Obama released this information. He and John Kerry released this information to the State Department, to other government agencies. They released this dirt on Sessions and all these other people, which, by the way, was against the law. They're not allowed to do that. They released all that information so at the appropriate time, they can throw dirt at Jeff Sessions. Why do they want to throw dirt at Jeff Sessions? Because he is a God-fearing man that they know will not compromise, and they have to bring him down. So as soon as they lob these allegations, oh, he spoke to the Russians. Well, ding dong, here come the Republicans. Yep, well, he's got to recuse himself. Got to get him out of there. See, there's something deeper going on than what we understand. And could we have connected a dot here today? Could we have connected a dot and understand that the control of this world is not being controlled by who we think it is? Now, folks, listen to me. They're talking about extraterrestrials, the Vatican starting to talk about that, UFOs, blah, blah, blah. Listen, folks, listen. It's going to be a great deception. And those things are not extraterrestrial, meaning from another planet. Those are extra dimensional. You understand the difference? They're from another dimension. They are demonic entities making their way into the natural realm. And then what are they going to tell us? Remember they asked, I showed that little clip of, I can't remember the guy's name, the real smart guy, Richard Dawkins. When they asked Richard Dawkins where we came from, and he said, well, it's possible that we were seeded here from another planet. That's the end game, boys. That's the end game. That these things that are going to appear are not extraterrestrial from a different planet, but extra dimensional from a different dimension. That sounds spooky, doesn't it, buddy? Hey, it's breaking out right in front of us, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. It's right there in front of us. Somebody help me bring this thing home before I start getting all my hate mail.
Well, you know, it was mentioned just a few minutes ago about the wrath of God and the possibility that these entities are a part of that scenario. Well, the Bible is very clear that there are different levels of wrath. And wasn't, you know, just thinking about it logically, who is God's wrath going to be the strongest against? Is it going to be against those who never consider him? Or is it going to be against those who claim to be on his team and are not, whether it be on purpose or whether it be by ignorance? You've got folks out there claiming to be Christians who in reality, their deeds and their words are fighting against the cause of Christ.
How dark is the darkness? Go ahead, Sarge.
So here's the litmus test. I just put it in the chat section. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, whatever they throw at you, whether it's a hologram or a flying saucer over the White House or some disclosure, whatever, until you, the born-again Christian, are meeting the Lord in the air, everything else is Antichrist. That's my litmus test, because when they come for me, I'm going to be in the air, because it says exactly, his words say, I will meet my Lord in the air, not on this earth, not on the surface.
Amen, brother. It's not. They're just. They're just playing the game here. The real places in this other area. Hey, before we go off here, five finger check here. Let me see. Come on. Let me see who I'm talking here today. Sarge looks good. Tim. All right. I think we're all good. George. Okay, George. We're all good. Something to chew on.
Wayne is suspect.
Lindell, I don't know about him. Do your own research, folks. Don't believe it just because I said it. Do your own research. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, is going to set you free. Have a great weekend.